2 Samuel chapter 15. Let me just give you a little background to this story. I'm going to talk a little bit about Absalom here. Absalom, if you don't know that name, is one of the sons of David, who is, as we're reading right now in the Bible, the king of Israel. And David is recorded as the greatest king that Israel ever knew. He is the lineage. He is the referred to head of the lineage and the throne of David, of Jesus. You'll see Jesus is the recipient of the throne of David, the line of Abraham, but the kingship, that rulership, that lordship is established and referred to as the throne of David. And it's because David is referred to as a man in rulership or leadership who is a man after God's own heart. But as we made reference to over the last couple of weeks, David made some horrendous decisions. We talked about his decisions that led to what we're going to see here. He's a man who began to indulge himself. But the beauty of David is when he repented, he really repented. That's why God could use David. But what I want to look at is David's sins. We talked about last week with this woman, the wife of a friend of his named Bathsheba. And God says, what you've tried to hide and done in secret, I will do to you in front of everyone. And he told him that he would, that his wives would be taken, that, one of his own family would bring, desolation in his kingdom. And it happens, and it's through this son, Absalom. And what I want to look at here and talk about for us, and I hope you can hear, I don't want to talk too long, I never do. Sometimes I end up doing it when I don't intend to, but I'm going to try and keep to the point. I want to just talk a little bit about discernment. It's interesting that it falls on the night that these guys are talking about influence and influencing our generation. I believe it's time for someone with righteous vision to rise up. Honestly, going back to politics, I'm sick of where our nation is, and I don't want to just complain. I want to be someone that, if we just start grassroots, bringing about change and hope. But when we have leaders that don't cast vision and all they do is criticize one another, we got a problem. We really do. It's lack of vision. And what people do who don't have, I believe, a right or righteous sense of authority and don't have vision, they critique others and polarize people and try and separate people. And basically what Absalom does is steal the hearts of people. And we got to be really discerning. And as believers, we have to be even more discerning. And we should be more discerning. And I just want to look at this. Not everything that appeals to us or seems right is God. Let me say that right up front. Not everything that appeals to us, not everything that seems right is God. Secondly, not everyone who says they are called of God or a messenger of God or a righteous ambassador of God is. Not everyone who rises up and says, I'm on the Lord's side, I have a word from the Lord, is. There are people who are bent on deceiving people. How do you discern it? Not everything that looks good or reads well or on the surface seems like should be right is. In fact, if you've been alive very long, you know that people want to sell you something for their benefit, though they'll tell you it's for your benefit. I won't go there because probably some of you believe that, so I'll just leave that alone. Yeah, I'm going to say it. It's I was really interested this, and I've seen this all over the world, and there must be so much money in it. And there are people that really believe in this product, but they're little bracelets that have a little magnet in them that give you incredible power and balance. And I know people wear them, and if you believe in it, keep believing in it. You have a lot of faith. I had a girl try to sell me one. And I said, how can you show me that thing works? She said, here, hold your arms out. Went like this. And she gets both her arms on my right arm and goes and pushes it down. And she goes, here, put this bracelet on. Put on your right arm. Put your arms out. She gets both arms on my arm and goes, do you see that? I was like, do you think I'm that stupid? Like, that's seriously how this girl had been taught to sell these things. Now, you may have found other evidence that's far more convincing than that. But I watched people line up at this booth that sold them, and this girl did that time and time and time again and sold these things. And people are putting them on and walking away going, wow, I'm empowered. You know, I feel strong and balanced. Man, I'm walking straighter. For years, people have sold all sorts of remedies to things and hair-growing things to bald people, and then they leave town and there's still lots of bald people. And somebody, they hook onto this thing, and what they do, I've got to tell you the coolest thing this morning. I was sharing this message this morning on trust and take action was one of my points, and be bold. And there's this little girl named Ruby who's 4, and she got so excited and turned around to her dad who's got no hair and goes, Dad, he's talking about you. You're bald. And he's like, thank you, but he said bold, like be courageous, not bold. I love little children. But anyway, that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. What happens in this, we have to be discerning, and here is one of the most incredible examples of it, because one of David's sons, take note, who has an offense against his father, decides that he's going to steal the kingdom. And he's going to steal the hearts of the people, and he is going to divide the nation, and he is going to take the throne. And though he has known his father's story, no doubt comes to this place where he convinces himself that he's the one that should rule and reign. Number one, Absalom's push for the throne is born in offense. If you ever find someone who is polarizing people, trying to gather people around themselves, and one of their root causes for doing it is they hold an offense against someone, stay away. We need to be discerning and listen, and the first thing you need to listen for is offense. Because offense is what's called this, it's usually formed in this root of bitterness. Someone goes, man, you know, they did me wrong, they said wrong, they should have done this, they should have done that. And they're building up this resentment. And soon enough, that grows into this little vine and it puts out its feelers and it finds people who are like-minded or who are weak or who are not convinced and begins to draw them to themselves. Until they start to believe, man, I really am a leader. Look at these people that follow me. And you begin to, and people begin to convince themselves. But people are gullible. Listen, people are gullible, and I'm very cautious of people that say that they, you know, that they are leaders and all they have built around them are weak, needy, gullible people. A good leader draws strong people around them who will even challenge them. And if you find someone that's polarizing people but has only appealed to need or weakness or their suffering or their pain or their offense, be aware and stay clear. In this story of Absalom, we see this over the course of time, chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, and you can read the pre-story a couple of chapters earlier. Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and with 50 men to run ahead of him. It's interesting when you just even read that. Absalom builds his own entourage to run ahead of him, to ride ahead of him, to declare his greatness. So Absalom does this. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate of his father's kingdom. And whenever anyone came with a complaint, what does he gather? People with bitterness, offense, weakness, need. To be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "Hey, where are you from, man?" And he'd answer, "Oh, your servant's from, you know, one of the tribes of Israel." And then Absalom would say to him, "Oh, look, man, I understand where you're coming from. Yes, an Israelite, you have rights as a tribe. You have an inheritance. You should be heard by the king. You should be heard by the authority. You should be heard by the local council. You should be heard by the pastor. Your claims are legit. They're valid. They're proper. And oh, what a shame. There's no representative of the king to hear you." What's fascinating here is Absalom, he doesn't try to remedy the situation. He just points out the issues. And the other thing you'll notice with Absalom here is he never goes to the king and tries to bring solution to the king. He just tries to usurp the hearts of the people. And Absalom would say, "Oh, if only there was, if only I was appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or case would come to me and I would see that he gets justice." And also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. And Absalom behaved this way towards the Israelites who came to the king and asked for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the people. And at the end of 4 years, you see that? 4 years. Absalom was willing to take the time. He didn't just ride into town and declare himself. People that want to usurp position, power, steal people's hearts, just mingle, just linger, just build their influence, just draw those who are undiscerning, and then pull a coup. It's very interesting. I've seen it in schools. I've seen it in churches. I've seen it in local councils. Splits, divides, all these things. They're not unique to churches. Wherever there are people with offense who have selfish interest, they're going to do it. What I want to talk a little bit about is discernment. The Bible says, test things. Test things. Test people. Don't take things at face value. Because someone says, the Bible says, don't believe it. Study it. Question it. Someone comes with a prophetic word, with a new revelation, test it. Test it against God's word. Not just in word, but in principle. People can have all sorts of revelations from the scriptures, and they'll find a verse that is there. The question is that verse in context congruent with the heart of the scriptures, or is it actually falling outside the heart of the scriptures? And you've got to use discernment. You've got to use wisdom. You've got to use your mind. You must be immersed in God's word if you want to understand God's heart and his person. People say things like, you know, all the promises of Scripture are mine. Is that right?
No.
Why?
Because it's prophetic to Jesus and not just me.
Good. But there's also things like were specific promises to Abraham, where God said to him this, everywhere you set your foot, I will give you. Well, I know people who are missionaries who claim that scripture as their own. Everywhere I set my foot, the Bible says the Lord will give me. He didn't say it to you. He said it to Abraham. Now, some of you might go, oh, well, hang on a minute. It's a living word. You know, it's applicable to all of us. No, there are specific promises that are for specific people in specific times. And they're not just general promises. In fact, the other thing that's interesting is when we do that in Scripture, we tend to claim all the good ones. We never claim the curses. Never. I've never seen anyone go through and find all the things that are said destructively against people groups and go, every promise, man, every promise. And we're not taught well. Listen, I'm not saying I am a great teacher, but I do love God's word, and I do what I believe is right. Doesn't mean I'm inerrant at all. In fact, there are people that have come to me and says, let's talk. I tell you, over time, my opinions on different scriptures have changed. They may still. My faith is a growing faith. The revelation of Christ in me is a growing revelation. Though the fullness of Christ dwells within me by his Spirit, I am being shaped. Some things that I think are okay for me at the moment may get shaped out of me yet. And I can take Scripture and go, see, it's okay. And you, but what I want to encourage you is be discerning. I can't tell you, although, you know, I believe there are good things happening here, I can't tell you that there won't be someone who'll turn up in the midst of here or your church family or somewhere else that will just slowly try to usurp the hearts of the people to build their own kingdom and become ruler of it. I don't care if people go out and, you know, do mission and evangelism and plant churches and those things, if it's with a kingdom heart. I don't care at all, but when it's to usurp a kingdom and begin to proclaim themselves, gosh, be careful. As I was reading this, I just felt this real sense of warning in my heart. Just what we read through there. People who begin to parade themselves. They're just around, they're just part of the kingdom for a while, but then begin to parade themselves. Or begin to say things like, oh, I've never been given my right opportunity. Oh, I've never been respected as a leader. I hear these whispers. I've been in churches and these things happen. Oh, I've never been recognized. Oh, I've never been. And people go, oh, you poor thing. You should be. Oh, you're a leader. You're a teacher. You should be raised up. You know what? I've seen it happen, and those people end up polarizing. And when people like Absalom come in and they begin to polarize people, separate them out, I do believe that, as the scripture says, there's that the enemy prowls the fringes looking for those he can devour. And I've seen many people that get polarized to the fringes that end up being destroyed. I would say if you're ever in a church and someone comes and they start, this isn't good, you know. Good, then go with them to the pastor. Go with them to the leader and just go, hey, you need to share your heart with him, with her, with, you know, if it happens in your workplace, oh, someone's just griping about the boss, just go to him and go, you ever talk to him about it? You ever talk to her about it? Let's go together. Maybe there's something legitimate to what you're saying, but let's go and do it humbly. Let's go and do it rightly. So often people just sort of like, oh, no, no, I wouldn't want to do that. They'd rather talk in the tea room and just be destructive. Absalom begins to build his own name, and then whenever people came, he came and he just starts to go, oh, your appeal is right. Oh, if there was just a representative. He never spoke against David even directly. He just sort of spoke around David. So if anyone had come and said, what have you been saying about the king? He could go, nothing. I never said anything. I just have a legitimate concern for the kingdom. Just have a legitimate concern for how I see things being run. Just have a legitimate concern here. I've never spoken against the king. Absalom could hide behind that little thing that he was doing and say, I never spoke about David. Tell me when I spoke about David. But then he does this thing and he goes, you know, now if I was a judge, here's what I would do. Now if I was the one that had some authority in this place, here's how I would fix it. And then he feigned humility. That's the thing, that Absalom is not humble. In fact, he is proud when he sets himself up like this. But then when people would come and bow to him, he would actually hold him up and go, no, 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 no. We're equals, man. You know, I'm for you. We're together in this. He never was. But what the people lacked was discernment. What they genuinely lacked was the ability to see and to understand. And the reality is, people that get sucked into that are not devoted to the kingdom. They're devoted to self. What do I get out of this? Oh, I get justice. Oh, I get a better deal. I get a better deal in the nation. Listen, don't get into politics, even as these guys are talking about, because you can feather your bed a little better. You want a righteous nation so you live more comfortably? That's the wrong reason. I think we should have a righteous nation because God is worthy of a people of righteousness. I reckon too many people want to return to godly principle because they want to live nicely. That's the wrong motivation. Why? Because it's about you. And anything that is born out of my rights is a wrong motivation. I had a conversation with a fellow this weekend, and I am going to have him come up and speak at some point. He's a fellow that I knew years and years ago, and I'd sort of lost touch with, and we had this conversation yesterday. And a few years ago, I had a horrific accident, no fault of his own. He was working in concreting, and they had this piping system rigged up to pipe concrete up onto the seventh floor, so use an incredible amount of pressure to move wet concrete up seven stories. And at the end of the day, they always clean out the lines and, you know, slurry it. And for whatever happened, these guys with people around decided to blow out these lines. And my friend Jeff was standing with the pump at his face from less than a meter away. And all he remembers was screaming, you know, what are you doing? As he got hit in the face with a cubic meter and a half of wet concrete at over 1,000 PSI. He was actually pronounced dead at the scene. Over 250, he says, you know, concrete shrapnel wounds to his face. His eyes were just, you know, incredible thing. And during his recovery, it's been a long recovery, and he is alive, and I'll let him share the miracle one day. It's an incredible thing. He finally came to a place where God, he felt like he was able to say to God, why? And he had this simple word that was this: for my glory. And Jeff went, okay. for my glory. The kingdom of God is not about our comfort. It's not about our well-being. Don't look for leaders that just promise you well-being. What we need to be people that are about his glory, about his kingdom. The difference between Absalom and David, and this is what you'll see, and I'm going to skip all the way down my notes, is Absalom's authority that he takes, and I'll cut it short because he does steal the kingdom. He steals the hearts of the people. He goes to another place and gets crowned king and then comes back. And what David does is he doesn't fight it. He says, God, I'm submitted to you. If this is the way that you are going to lead this kingdom ahead, I'll walk away. I'll walk away from Jerusalem. I'll walk away from the palace. I will walk away from my position. I'll take my family. I'll go. Done. And he walks away. He was always about the name of God, even though he was the promised king. He never stood there and went, hey, listen, Samuel anointed me. He said I would be the next king. He said that I would have an enduring kingdom. He said that I would have this throne. He never stood up and declared what his rights were. He said, I'll walk away. That's incredible humility. I was going to talk about two men, and I told some of you I would. I'm not tonight, but it's worth studying two different people. Their names are Ittai and Shimei. I talked a bit about them last year. Ittai is a man who's only just come to the kingdom, but he recognizes the right authority of David. And when they're walking out of the kingdom, David turns to Ittai and says, what part do you have with me? You've just come to the kingdom. Stay, serve the king. And Ittai turns around and goes, I am, and I'm coming with you. And there's this incredible devotion to what is righteousness and a discerning man. And then you have another guy that they meet on the road called Shimei, and Shimei is chucking rocks at David and dirt at David and cursing David and telling him, you know, get out of town, you know, the new king's here. And you know, and he's just sucked into this whole thing and drawn along with it. And it's so easy to be mouthy when you think you're on the side of the new authority and you've been sucked into this and your heart's been stolen. And it's interesting to see how mouthy people get around false leaders. It's really interesting to watch. People just get mouthy because they've had their heart stolen and they become a mouthpiece of an unrighteous authority. You want to see David's heart? Another guy, Abishai, goes, you know what? I'm sick of that guy. I'm going to go kill him. And David goes, no, don't do it. If this is God, let him sling all the insults he wants to, because God's going to allow him to do it. And later on, when David's reestablished, Shimei comes up and David's like, there's been enough bloodshed. It's just this incredible, genuine humility to David. He's blown it. He's, you know, the kingdom's been stolen for a season, but the whole time David just goes, for your glory, that's it. Not about me. But the people, so many of them just went with the deceiving. The thing that you'll notice, the difference between Absalom and David, Absalom craved authority, craved position, craved influence. David was willing to walk away from it. A humble person is someone that goes, listen, this is not about me. If someone thinks they can do a better job, someone thinks that they've got a call, listen, if I felt it was God, I'll walk away from Good Life. Good Life's not about Tim Lovell. Good Life is going to be about the kingdom of God. And I encourage other churches. I love other pastors who are about God's kingdom. I am about God's kingdom advancing. Churches growing, churches being born, I love it. Churches splitting, people stealing authority, people criticizing others, I hate it. Why? Because I think God hates it. We need to be the discerning ones. Matthew chapter 7, 15 to 23, it says that there are people who will be deceivers. They'll go out into the midst. They'll say they've done all these incredible things, and at the end of time, God's going to look at them and go, I never knew you. Did amazing stuff. Wasn't by me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says that all of us should be discerning. Examine everything carefully. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. How do you do it? You've got to know what's good, what's evil. You've got to know God's principle of His Word. You must stand true to it. Don't be swayed by popular doctrine. Don't be swayed just by popular teachers. You must be a person who is discerning. One of the gifts of the Spirit, where God says, you want it, I'll give you a gift of discernment between good and evil, right and wrong, that you might know. He offers His Holy Spirit and goes, my Spirit will lead you in all truth. What do we have to do? Submit ourselves to it. Submit ourselves to His Spirit. When I pray with them, they go, man, I need wisdom. I pray with them, God, give them discernment. But that should be your prayer. I can't just pray discernment into people. You've got to choose to be discerning. You've got to choose to want to know. Go to Colossians chapter 2. We could talk a long time on this, and I'm not going to talk all night. Just go to Colossians chapter 2 for a minute. Paul says this, my purpose, and he's talking about what he's doing. So my purpose is that they, he's talking particularly these people at Laodicea, they may be encouraged in heart, and they might be united in love, and that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. What does Paul crave for these people? That they'd be encouraged in heart, that they would be united in love, that they would have the full riches of complete understanding, and all that in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely, or revealed in Christ. For in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to walk in wisdom and knowledge and discernment? Get to know Jesus. Read the Gospels, reread the Gospels, reread the Gospels, get to know Jesus. If you don't know what I'm talking about with the Gospels, there's four books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People will fight them, argue them, talk about it as being a myth, try to compare them, false stories. You know what? I have a simple faith. I do believe in God, and I do believe that God revealed Himself fully in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe that the writers of the Gospels write from four different opinions of things that happen, all rightly revealing different parts of the person of Jesus Christ and the works of Christ here on this earth. The writers of the Bible say this, if everything that Jesus did was written, there wouldn't be enough books to write it all in. And I guarantee you that if you walk out of here and one person asked four different ones of you, what did Tim talk about tonight, and explain a little bit of it and tell me about how he behaved and his inflection and his tone of voice, there's going to be four very different opinions, if not five or six. And what people do is they go, oh, look, they say different things. Well, they didn't sit in the same room and write them together. God chose to impart to them important parts through what they'd seen, through what they had heard, and that they recorded. I believe that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, things revealed to Paul as a writer of the New Testament who had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, right truth and right revelation. I believe that God has given us, according to Peter, everything that we need for godliness and for righteousness. I believe that. And so therefore, when I read the Bible, I'm going, God, I'm trusting You. This is Your Word, and I want it to shape me. Romans chapter 8 says, God's very purpose before the foundation of the earth was that you would be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, shaped like Him. This is what it's about. And so we're easily, let me go on. If If in him is hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When people come to you and they go, hey, I got new revelation. I've got new understanding. I ask this, is it a part? Is it congruent with the scriptures? Does it line up or is it extra biblical? If it is outside biblical, I look at it and go, that's your opinion. Now that stirs up a lot in people. Well, you know, there are great teachers that have had great revelation. Maybe, but maybe not. Line it up with Scripture. Signs and wonders are a wonderful show of God's power, but they can also be fabricated. People flock to the latest move and the latest demonstration of power. Why? Because in us we like power. We're kind of captivated by stuff. You know what? I love magic shows. Love them. Love illusionists. I love sitting there going, how the heck did you do that? I watched this incredible illusionist, and he's a Christian. He did this thing, I still can't possibly work it out, this huge fan, industrial fan, blade spinning. And he's behind it and he's talking and he walked right through it. It flips my mind. He goes, I'll never tell you how I did it, but it's an illusion. And then he said this, you know what, there are people, there are swamis, there are all these people all over the world that tell you they can levitate. He goes, so can I. And he levitates. And they have people come and they put, you know, those hula hoops all around him and, you know, get swords and cut all around him. And he finishes and he goes, it's still an illusion. And he goes, and I have $500,000 on the table for anyone who will come and levitate in front of me, and I'll give it to him. Because people are captivated by this, but he says, there's illusion. And there is evil. And how do we discern? We've got to come back to the scriptures. Simple questions, and I'm going to finish because I could talk on this all night. Actually, one more verse. Verse 6 of chapter 2. Read Colossians chapter 2, please. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Even Paul goes, mate, there are some ripper arguments out there. There are some beauties. They are fine. But don't be deceived. For though I'm absent, I'm present with you in spirit. Stand firm in your faith in Christ. Continue to live in him, rooted, built up, strengthened, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow, deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than Christ. You want discernment? Get some basic questions in place. Number one, be founded in God's word. But first question ever, does it line up with the principles of God's word? And if you're wanting to follow someone, ask this, do they line up with the basic principles of God's word? Watch their lives. Take some time and watch it. Do they serve? I love that what you said there before, Reuben, where you said, serve. When you watch them around the place, are they aloof? Proud? Know-it-alls? High talkers? Even influential? Or are they strong and humble and serve? Do they love to command people to do stuff for them? Or do they do it? Just look. Just watch. Next question. Is the heart of that person and the words of that person and the actions of that person about the unity of the kingdom of God? Are they critical, divisive, polarizing? These are just simple discerning things that we miss. One of the things with Absalom, here's your next question. You can write these down or listen to them later and write them down. Third one, is the heart of the person genuinely humble or are they subtly self-promoting? Because you can talk humble, you can act humble, but what is the motivation behind it? What accompanies it? Don't be deceived. We want people that we can, you know, gravitate towards. That's just our human nature. Fourthly, start to ask yourself a question. Here's your question. What am I looking for? What is this person meeting in my needs? What am I looking for? Am I attracted to this because somehow I think that I will be fulfilled? Be careful. Fifthly, what is being promised? What's being promised? This should go across the board. Ask yourself the question, have I submitted myself to God's Holy Spirit and am I asking Him? Do you have a simple trust in God or somewhere do you doubt Him and you think you may be missing out on something and this might be the answer? Are you at rest in God's leading of your life? 2 Peter 1:3, we've been given everything we need. Are you in a hurry? You need that need met. Took Absalom 4 years to deceive the people. Sometimes I think we should wait that long to watch people that we want to follow. I had someone watch my life. I didn't even know it. 3 years. A man watched my life from the shadows and then he came to me and he said, "Now I want to talk to you." He had a deep thing that he couldn't just entrust. And I felt privileged that he did. And I'm not just saying about me. I love that he had the wisdom to watch someone. Are there other motives? Selfishness. Is it for your own gain in some way? Is it self-empowering in some way? In our generation, we need to be people of discernment. I do believe we live in days where people... They want to be self-promoting. And Absalom, when we read it this week, it stuck out to me like that. So I know a lot of us in here, a lot of you guys are, you know, young in your faith. I'm relatively young in my faith. I've been following Jesus wholeheartedly about 26 years. I know a man who prays for my wife and myself, who has wholeheartedly been devoted to God for nearly 80 years. 80 years. And he goes, "I'm still learning. When I see Jesus, I'll be like him." When you meet him, you're like, "No, you're probably just like Jesus." But that's humility. So let's just pray, and I'm going to leave space just for you guys. I don't want to just be the prayer. Praying is just crying out your own need. But I just feel this caution in my heart, whether it is for here or what's happening in your own lives, but I just have this sense of caution to be just aware. God, you said any of us who have need, come and ask of you. You say if we lack wisdom, come and ask you and you'd lead us in all wisdom. God, you said that we should be like Jesus, was humble of heart. God, I just thank you that you offer us a gift of discernment of your Spirit. We just put that caution within us. And Lord, I pray that we would be aware of those little moments of caution. That God, our self-centered desires, our longings, our yearnings, our hopes, our dreams would not overpower the whisper of your Spirit. Just where you are, just ask God yourself in whatever your words are that He would lead you, give you discernment, give you wisdom, give you understanding. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word that says, though the thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy, you've come that we might have life and have it abundantly. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves, Father, to you, Holy Spirit, to you, God Almighty, who created us, who knows our frail form, who knows our mind, who knows our hearts, who know our emotions, who knows our needs, our longings, our yearnings, our hopes, our dreams, our weaknesses, all those things. God, would you lead us? We are needy. We're not self-sufficient. Your word says in Jeremiah that our heart is deceitful, wicked, above all things. Who can understand it? But God, we want to know your ways. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people that that walk in wise counsel. And God, I just want to pray for in the churches, in the coast here. God, I pray that you would raise up righteous men and women, godly men and women. And I really do pray, if there be people that are self-promoting, that are deceivers, that are trying to build their own kingdom, God, that are trying to take people from one church and drag them into what they're doing, God, I just pray that if there's any work of the enemy anywhere afoot, would you reveal it? In your mercy, save, deliver those people that are entangled. And Father, I pray that leaders would walk in humility and submission and servant hearts towards you. Lord, I do pray in our political environment, God, we do want to be a people and a nation that is seen as righteous, that is seen as godly, so that, God, there is a statement of your nature, of your character in this earth. God, not just so that we live in safety and abundance and provision and all those nice things, but that, God, your name would be a praise amongst the people. And Lord, I just pray for those that are influential, whether they're influential in business or in politics or in sports or in the arts, Lord, in their homes, God, in schools, wherever they may have influence, in churches, in communities, in youth programs, in social work, in whatever environment, God, may they be men and women who walk in integrity and humility and with a servant heart, but with conviction of righteousness. Father, we, in whatever place we're in, where we're submitted to authority, God, would you give us discernment and give us courage. But Lord, may we always be about your name, about your kingdom. We pray it tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen.